Time now to catch up with Jeff from Solar Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
And what's happening, mate?
Beautiful day out here, Peter. Nice and calm. We've been quite busy even during the week. We've had quite a few people pop in. The weekend, the long weekend was good, and last weekend was very good. Lots of visitors, Peter. They got cabin fever. We don't have cabin fever in Australia, but in Canada, in the north, you know, where you're snowed in for 6 months of the year, and you know you have to pack in your store your firewood and your food and everything. That's what they call it, cabin fever.
Cabin fever, yeah, it's a good name, isn't it?
Yeah, and actually, you know what? It's true, because in the old days, because of that, in the Arctic, particularly amongst the indigenous people, tuberculosis, TB, was a very, very big problem, Peter. When you're living on top of each other, during those times, wouldn't do any good at all to get coronavirus in there in the middle of winter. It's a little better these days, of course, but if somebody's got something and you're locked down with them for 6 months, Peter, you're going to get it, whatever it is.
That's right. I'm a little concerned about all these people living on top of one another.
Yes, well, anyway, people are out and about, Peter, which is really nice to see. We're about over it here, I think, July 1st. I've given up following them, Peter. They have no idea what they're doing, so we're learning to... We're learning to live with it, Peter, as we said 3 months ago.
Yeah, you're right.
That's all we have to do. It is not going away. And it'll come back in New Zealand because, as we said before, airlines are going to start flying in. Ships come like us. You know, we had a live export ship arrive in Western Australia, 7 active cases in the crew member, 50 more suspected. You know, it's unless you completely isolate yourself, Peter, and go back to the Stone Age, you're going to get more outbreaks. And we've talked about this before. Unless you sift through the news, Peter, most of those, you don't find out that most of those new cases are imported and the people are in quarantine. They're not locally generated. Now, there have been a few of note. Here, a school in the eastern suburbs in Sydney, and the ones at McDonald's in Victoria, and various other outbreaks. But they're going to happen, Peter.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You can't stop it. So you learn to live with it. And the key, I just about laughed myself silly this morning. A big news article, like it's a revelation, about somebody announced the key is testing. An investigation, Peter, you know, like virus detectives, as we said before. You know, you got to have investigators. So, you know, you've got to be able to zero in on these isolated pockets.
Isn't that funny, though? I mean, weren't we talking about that about
3 months?
Yeah, I was going to say three and a half months ago.
Yeah, well, of course, we predicted, Peter, because of Victoria's lax testing and their low rate compared to the rest of Australia, that they would become the coronavirus capital of Australia. And, of course, that has, in fact, happened. You know, we get the odd outbreak here and there, but Victoria's been the thorn in the foot, Peter. It's the one that's creating Australia's problem. Their testing rate is great now, but they're like... you know, 2 months behind everybody else.
Yeah, maybe you've got to walk up with them very gingerly and hit them with a cattle prod or something to wake them up.
Yeah, well, they spend $300 billion, they say, it's going to cost this. I mean, it's mostly misspent, Peter. You've got to test. You've got to test and investigate. That's where the key is, so... sure, we've had to help a lot of people, but basically we created two economies, those that work for government, pseudo-government employees like teachers and health workers, and of course our good old friends at Coles and Woolworths, who were a primary beneficiary of all the money the government's pumped into the economy. So, and the local liquor store too, I gather.
Yeah, and our friendly drug supplier.
Yeah, so, you know, we got those two economies, all those people, nothing happened to them. Lots of cases of business went up.
Yeah.
And there are those people that were thrown out of work, businesses bankrupted, everything on the lower end. So, you know, without, you know, the politicians don't care. They get their pay and their pension and everything else. And so, you know, we spent a few hundred billion. Who cares? You know, we got lots more. Oh, gee, we don't? Oh, that's news.
Mate, it's like those little ducks in the water, you know, that you see at the various regional shows where they bob up and down, you know, because the water's moving. And that's about all that's happening.
Yeah, it is. And well, it's just going to be unlocked eventually, Peter. But it should have been just unlocked, you know, like months before it was. They unlocked in Europe, as we've said many, many times, when there were thousands of cases a day. They got it under control, Peter. Yeah. They have better detectives than we have, virus detectives. And they have higher testing rates. So, you know, I mean, you can live with it and send yourself bankrupt, you know, with your regulations, or you could be proactive. And we're not proactive. We're just reactive here, unfortunately.
Yeah, look, let's face it, you're just a stirrer.
True. But you know what? You know what killed more people in the UK last year than has ever looked like happening to us in Australia with coronavirus? This statistic staggered me, Peter. I was sifting through these medical abstracts, you know, like from top medical institutes. A report came out of England. Do you know that last year in the UK, there were 237 million errors in prescriptions?
Aha! I hear the bells of success.
And they don't say how many people have been lifetime incapacitated, Peter, but they did report that it killed 1,700 people.
Yeah, amazing. You know?
So I think we've got to spend some more money on making sure that prescriptions are right, Peter.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
237 million and 1,700 deaths.
Mate, if scripts are written down, what bothers me is how do they screw it up?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, you know, they didn't spend $300 billion fixing it. We got 60, or I don't know what it is now, I've given up following statistics, Peter, but probably less than 100 still in Australia deaths. Mm-hmm. We spent $300 billion. And if, you know, we've got a population that's about the third the size, probably a little bit more, 40% of the size of the UK. If numbers, and I can't imagine their health systems any worse than ours, that would mean that, you know, about 700 people died last year from errors in prescriptions in Australia. That's 10 times the coronavirus. We should put some of those billions into, you know, making sure that we give people the right medication.
Mate, well, in a way, look, I've got to come to their defense because, you know, I've been issued a number of things, as you have and other people, and you get it with one name, and then you discover you get a generic with a totally unpronounceable name, and that's supposed to be this, and this is supposed to be that. And I thought, bloody hell, I need a chemist here to sort it all out.
Yeah, I know. It's a difficult situation, Peter, and the only reason I bring it up is to try and put things in perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, and as I said the other day, Peter, I think history's going to be very harsh on Australia and countries like that that actually ruined their economy, set their country back years, you know, and it'll be years and years recovering economically just for, you know, however many cases we had and less than 100 deaths. And especially, Peter, in a bad flu season, 3,000 people die anyway from influenza and pneumonia that follows the flu.
Yeah, it's like a barn dance, two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, we've beaten them to death and they don't listen to us, Peter, and they go along, bankrupt the country. Anyway, moving on to another topic, we were just chatting before we went off air because I'm going to have a blood test again. And one of the things is that I've had low iron readings. And I had a really nice chat with a specialist from John Hunter in this area recently, and of course do a little research, as you know, that I'm doing. And I went back after he'd said a few things, I went back and did a bit of checking. And do you know, Peter, that tea, if you drink tea and all the positive things for your heart and everything else, but they found that people that drink tea can reduce are reduced up to 50% in iron. So if you have an iron deficiency, you better have tea every other day or every third day or something, because tea can reduce your iron count as much as 50%, Peter.
Yeah.
Yes, and the other one that surprised me, because I'd started taking it, turmeric, because it's good for cancer, and it's particularly good for joints as well. There have been studies that show
you're supposed turmeric, to smoke them.
Yeah, turmeric is even worse. It can reduce your iron, they say, up to 90%. But certainly, you know, it's a significant, you know, reducer of iron levels in your body. So if you are suffering from iron, and I'm going to have my iron test today, I've been on this change diet here for about 3 or 4 weeks now, Peter, and I'll report next week if anything happened to my iron count. I have to say I've missed the tea, and I don't feel a lot worse with the turmeric, but, you know, not taking the turmeric, but, you know, it'll be an interesting experiment, Peter, to see what happens to my iron levels.
Well, I had a similar problem, and I'm very grateful to another of our sponsors here on the Breakfast Club, which is, of course, Millennium Pharmaceuticals. And they have a whole range of different vitamin supplements. And my good friend Dr. J was kind enough to recommend two or three to me. And all of a sudden, guess what? My iron levels are all back to normal. He changed my diet a little bit. And, very good. I'm extremely happy.
Yeah, well, that's great, Peter. I'll you know, if my iron level doesn't come up, then maybe I'll have to get on board with Dr. J as well there, Peter. But I'm trying the natural therapy first here.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of, what would you call them, the same as the wine. You know, they're not chemically based. Yeah, they're very natural.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what happens, but it's like, and doctors, of course, are always, you know, tisking about all these natural supplements we take when you go in with a problem and you're taking these remedies. Yeah, doesn't fit in with their plan, Peter.
One thing they brought up, which I think a lot of people don't realize, that if you are taking prescription medication, you can't take that and your vitamin supplements all together. You know, we don't make a handful of medication and go down the hatch, goodbye. You separate them. You know, and as you know, I've got my little ritual each morning, and it seems to work, so I'm very pleased.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, no, that's really good. We did do a couple of shows on vitamins, which I won't, you know, carry on with now. But in any case, Peter, you know, the iron is, it was an interesting analogy that he mentioned, and there are sort of two levels of iron. It's your iron reserves in your body, and your iron in your blood, you know, in your, so there's two. And if you don't, you've got to have good iron reserves in your body if you're going to have healthy iron in your blood. You can have a healthy iron in your blood through diet and stuff, but your iron reserves in your body still may be low. Yeah. So it's like, you know, filling a bucket up, was his analogy, is your iron reserves in your body. And then that feeds your blood system. But if you've got a leak in your bucket, you know, you may be taking in the right diet and supplement, Peter, but if your bucket's leaky, your reserve maybe have leaked out. You may still have, through diet and supplement, a reasonable blood level, but your reserves are shot. And I thought it was a good analogy, you know, if you've got a leaky, like if you've got a bleeding bowel or something like that, they're talking about, you know, you're losing your iron reserves. So
you've got to be careful. And if you feel tired, even though you're getting a reasonable sleep, and you get up in the morning and you think, oh, do I really have to? That's another indication that there might be something wrong.
Yeah, gee, I feel like that every morning since I was a teenager, Peter. you know, especially when I was a teenager.
But you got to go to sleep when you go to bed.
I know, that's the problem. You know, when I was going to university, on the weekend, sometimes I'd wake up and it was dark, and I used to think to myself, gee, is it not yet morning, or did I sleep all day?
All day. Oh, dear, oh, dear. The things we learn later on in life, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is. We certainly abuse our bodies, Peter, when we're young. No question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, that's what we're talking about. That still massive amounts of publications. One was interesting, came out of the UK as well. They've now found that steroids, they've finished the study on steroids, and they found that helps in the recovery of coronavirus and cuts the death rate, Peter.
So that's amazing.
Yeah, at least in the UK, they're using steroids to help treat coronavirus victims. So it helps the recovery. So that was interesting. But look, half the articles, Peter, are still, about coronavirus. And, yeah. And talking about that, did you see... Excuse me, I got the hiccups, Peter. I wasn't allowed to have anything to drink this morning because I'm fasting for my blood test.
But right, yeah, understood.
Anyway, the outbreak in China is in Beijing, and it came from a market where they're selling meats and vegetables.
Ah.
I think they said biggest market in Beijing, or certainly in the area where it was. So here we have another market-based outbreak, and I don't think this is a new outbreak or a new strain, and it's partially because there are a heck of a lot of people in those markets, and of course they're in close association. So, but it's interesting, that's the markets where the outbreak was.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so they've locked it down. They're talking about, I don't know if you read the paper this morning, the report on it, they've shut it down like a military operation. So that whole area is locked down. But that's what you have to do. They didn't shut China down, Peter, we did. Hey, they shut down that area. And I mean, we can't seem to figure that out in Australia. You know, we shut down, look, 99.9% of the country, had nothing to do with coronavirus, never had a case. Business could have operated normally, and they could have shut down Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane, and nobody would have missed them in the country, Peter.
That's terrible.
But they destroyed the country, towns, and the entire backbone of the economy. So I don't know. They just... Now, of course, they can't afford to do it anymore because they have no money.
Okay.
So now when there's an outbreak, they don't shut the country down. They deal with it, which is what we've been saying for 3 months. So.
Yeah, that's what they should have done in the first place.
Well, they didn't deal with them. They had an outbreak in this rest home, that rest home, the other rest home. They let it carry on and on and on. You just move in, you say, okay, get them in the whole net and say, that's shut down. These are the regulations. This is how it works. This is how you apply this, how you apply that. Everybody has, essentially hazmat suits, and you deal with it. But you don't. It goes on and on and on. And then 5 more people get it, 7 more people, 10 more people get it in the rest home, and the nurses have got it and the helpers have got it. And, it's if you step in immediately, as they're tending to do now, you can get control of it, but if you let it trickle all over the place, you don't get control of it. So anyway, that's the way it is, Peter, but we still have some very nice organic wine.
I was about to say that, let's have something bright that really enhances your breakfast and your lunch.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not breakfast. Well, orange juice probably better for you than wine at breakfast.
Yes, otherwise we'll be pleasantly by the afternoon.
Yeah, no, grapefruit. Grapefruit, as we know, reduces stroke by nearly 20%.
Oh, fruit. Really?
Yes, the potential of stroke. Unless you're on this heart medication, you can't take grapefruit. Grapefruit has all sorts. And here's the other thing that my specialist told me. You must take your iron pill separately, Peter, with a glass of citric, either orange juice. I take mine with my grapefruit in the morning. It is far more effective if you take your iron pill with an acidic supplement, Peter.
Yeah.
And acidic means like orange juice or citric acid we're talking about there. Wine, interestingly, is acid as well. So I guess you could pop your iron pill with a glass of wine, Peter.
All right, yes. Yeah, so you'll have your metal up to date and be pleasantly at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why not?
Regardless of whether you're cured or not, you'll think you are, Peter.
All right. How do we do it, mate?
So, cellarwines.au.
Pardon me.
And call us or send us an email. Go online. Free delivery Australia-wide, Peter.
Now, that is a bonus. There are so many places that say, oh, yeah, we'll deliver $65. And you think, what?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, free delivery is a big thing. And I, you know, mix and match. But come by and see us now. Get out there on the road. We need more road warriors now, Peter.
All right. Ankle biter ready. Buddy, you ready?
Yeah, Buddy's. Actually, Buddy's been sort of in retirement for the last 2 or 3 months while we're closed down. Very few visitors, Peter. And now, of course, he's tired out. By the time we've had half a dozen groups come here and he's been up and greeted them all,
mm-hmm.
You know, the next thing you see, you know, at 1 o'clock, he's sound asleep on the grass and cars are coming and going.
Yes, just, by all means, come in, park next to the dog.
It's been its job of being the official greeter is tiring.
Yeah, it must be. Mate, lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, same here, Peter, and we'll catch up with you next week.
You sure will. Thanks, mate.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jeff from Azella Wine. Now, it's azellawines.com.au. You can call him on the phone. You can email him. I think carrier pigeons are out, but by all means, have a look on the website as soon as you can.